Hey there, welcome to The Hot Slice, the weekly podcast brought to you by Pizza Today magazine. I'm your host, Jeremy White, joined today by the one and only Denise Greer, our esteemed executive editor. What's up, Denise?
Hello, Jeremy.
Hello. That was very smooth, very professional. I can't follow that up.
Yeah, I'm trying. You know, it is a Monday afternoon. Now, if you would have caught me about 3 hours earlier and we would have had to do this in the morning, it was going to be a whole different feel.
I mean, it's been a day that's required a lot of coffee. It's kind of gloomy and cold where you and I are. And it's a Monday.
Yeah, it is a Monday. And what happened over the weekend? You got to tell everybody.
Big news. So our good friend Mike Bausch, who owns Andolini's Pizzeria in Tulsa, as well as many other concepts. But Mike and his friends from the World Pizza Champions hosted the world's largest pizza party over the weekend in Tulsa. And not only did they set a new record in the Guinness Book of World Records, they absolutely annihilated, and I'm talking smashed
it
by a mile,
like the
previous record. So we will get Mike on the Hot Slice very soon to celebrate this accomplishment, talk about the logistics, how he pulled it off, why he pulled it off. Hint, it was a charity event. But we will get him on to talk about it. But it was a huge deal that happened in Tulsa over the weekend. We're obviously very proud of Mike and all the World Pizza Champions for what they accomplished, and just want to congratulate them on a job very well done. And it should come as no surprise to anyone who knows them that there was no doubt they were going to annihilate the record.
When they said they were going to do it, and knowing Mike Bausch, I knew that like it would be executed flawlessly, and it would be like go way above whatever their expectations were. So so proud of the gang. I'm glad that they were able to accomplish that. Can't wait to celebrate with them at Pizza Expo, because of course we will see them all at Pizza Expos, and they might even get a bigger hug from me.
And you know, speaking of Pizza Expo, it is a little over 2 months out now. We're sitting as we record this podcast, it is January 23rd. It'll be released shortly. The show begins at the end of March. The official exhibit hall days are March 28th through 30th. Obviously, we have some events a day or two before that as well, starting on the 26th. So we are now 2 months away from Pizza Expo. So it is, it's right there. You can almost reach out and grab it.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about our guest for a minute. But first, let me say, okay, we're jumping into a whole new podcast schedule. After we did the reports and things, it was time to talk about what guests we were going to bring on the show. And my whole thing is this year, I want to bring people on that people have been dying to hear from in this industry, and dying to hear from on this platform, to talk to other operators and just find out what's going on. And so one of them that was right up at the top of my list was Sarah Minnick and Lovely's 50/50 in Portland, Oregon. You know, she just kills it.
Chef's Table. Chef's Table on Netflix.
If you haven't checked out her Chef's Table episode on Netflix, you should go watch it now. Actually, you should go watch the whole
series,
because they're all fantastic. I've watched them all several times. You know, she has such an interesting story about how she landed in pizza, which I think a lot of people maybe haven't been there, but they can relate to the shifts and the ups and downs of different things. So I love that we're able to get Sarah on and just talk about pizza and the business and sourdough. It's an exciting time. And I totally was a fangirl. I'm not even going to apologize for it. I am a complete fangirl about it.
You know, Sarah's doing amazing things in Portland. And she lives in a part of the country where she really can get her hands on some really amazing produce all year long. And she uses that to her advantage. There's a reason that, you know, Chef's Table, I believe off the top of my head, I might be wrong, I think it was 6 episodes, I think, somewhere in through there. You know, they didn't go out and cover 50 pizza makers. They only covered a handful, and every one of them are doing something really unique, really special. They obviously missed the ball by not having one on Tony Gimignani, but maybe there will be a season two. Having said that, you know, they kicked it off with Chris Bianco. That was an amazing episode. And Sarah's episode was definitely one of my favorites.
Absolutely.
You should definitely, like you said, everyone should watch the entire season. And definitely don't, mm-hmm. she's towards the end. Do not drop off before you see hers.
Yeah, absolutely. And just her whole philosophy on pizza, it's amazing. And the fact that she just loves to take unique ingredients or things that you wouldn't particularly put on pizza. Like, we had a whole discussion on cabbage, and that's unique. That's a unique pizza topping. So
it is.
It's a pretty interesting. So I think let's just jump right in,
yeah,
and talk to Sarah. And I think you're going to get a lot of insights from her on this episode. So
absolutely, let's get her on here.
All right.
Performance Food Service is proud to deliver high quality products, innovative technology, and custom operational solutions to restaurants of all sizes across the country. The flagship division of Performance Food Group, with deep roots in the restaurant industry, Performance Food Service has been the exclusive distributor of the Roma family of brands for more than 65 years. This signature relationship has allowed Performance Food Service to become a leader in the pizza and Italian segment of food service nationwide. With extraordinary pizza cheese comes extraordinary rewards. Only Baccio Exceptional Italian Pizza Cheese offers the Gold Club Rewards program with monthly cash back on every cheese purchase. Members also receive funds twice a year to use in their exclusive marketing store. It's their way of saying grazie to customers. Schedule a demonstration at bacciocheese.com/hotslice and discover how rewarding Baccio Exceptional Italian Pizza Cheese can be. Pizza is your legacy. Build it with Baccio.
Looking to grow your pizzeria or restaurant? Then you'll want to try the power of a cloud-based POS system. With HungerRush, you'll get everything you need. This fully integrated restaurant management system allows you to easily streamline operations, accelerate the delivery process, and grow your business through HungerRush 360 marketing. And it's so easy to use! Want AI-powered text ordering? It's built in. Need to track orders? No problem! Schedule a personalized demo at HungerRush.com today.
All right. So hello, Sarah. How are you this lovely day?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Oh, not too bad. So it's an honor to have you on the podcast. We're excited to have you on. I got to say, your Chef's Table episode was probably my favorite.
Oh, that's so nice. Thanks.
Yeah. I love your story of like how you got going in the business. Like it's a unique story, but it's one where I think a lot of people that are in the pizza business can relate to just the struggles of trying to get through and do different things and then get into food and then get into pizza.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. It's a great medium for that. It's got a lot of flexibility, and it's nice, and like, it's not overly simplified or something, but it does have a, like, just a sort of smaller set of guidelines to go by that make it, for me, like, pretty accessible place to start. So
yeah, absolutely. And the one thing I love is you had your restaurant that, you know, there was that fine dining, everyone, you know, sought after it as the anniversary spot. And then when it's almost like a light bulb went off when you're thinking about, you know, doing the ice cream and pizza together and kind of going into the pizza route.
Yes, for sure. I think we just got, for some reason, we just did get like pigeonholed into being a fine dining place, which wasn't what we had in mind, but people thought of it that way, our first restaurant. Mm-hmm. And so when we realized that happened, we were like, oh no, what do we do? You know, we had kids over that time period. And we just decided like, yeah, no, we want to have families and people who come more often. And
I gotcha. So,
yeah.
And when you begin receiving publicity and notoriety for your pizzas specifically, how did you feel about that? Was it expected just because of your past and you kind of assumed that was going to come, or were you a little bit surprised by it?
I think there was a time period where I was still like getting the hang of it, you know, and I was hoping like, okay, I think this is going to be better as time goes on. And I was just hoping like that, you know, I didn't want to actually get reviewed too early just because of that. And but then once I started to get the hang of it and I felt like the pizzas we were making were really good, then I was ready for people to try them, and took a long time. You know, it was like, you know, years went by, and I still see like Portland has a lot of great pizza places, but it has like two very famous pizza places for over a decade, Pizza Shoals and Ken's. And so it really was all about those two places for a really long time. And it was very hard to like even get mentioned, you know, and even just, I mean, we were always in local guides, which was nice. Like restaurant guides didn't forget about us and included us, knew that it was like, you know, we had lots of nice salads and all kinds of vegetables going on that maybe it's not very common for a pizza place. So that was good. We always had that. But any kind of national mention or anything that was a little more serious pizza wise, we were always left out of. And I was like, okay, I hope we can break into this. You know, like, I think we deserve it. And so that did happen with time. But yeah, it took a long time. And we just had our 13th birthday at Lovely's. So we've been open a long time.
Well, you know, and I'm glad you said that, because pizza is not easy. And sometimes people in the food industry who maybe work with other types of food sometimes think, oh, pizza will be easy. I'll just add a slice shop. While it may not be technically the most difficult cuisine, it certainly is not easy. And you're a testament to that, as you're saying that it took me a while to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, it throws in, you have to have a lot of baking skills and just knowledge of how, for me, it's always like the overall arc of the day. Like you don't know exactly when the rush is coming. You know, your dough arcs over time and proofs in a certain way. So you have to really make sure that you're ready to have pizza, but also, you know, ready to make pizza and ready, the dough's ready to go at 5. But there's also going to be dough ready to go at 9:30. I mean, for us, it's always that balance. And it's ours is sourdough. And I think it's the same for any kind of dough. But it we have to just really be on that. You cannot let it slip. And it changes every day, too. It can change with humidity and temperature and even flour lots for us. I mean, we have to watch all of that stuff really carefully just to make sure we don't end up with, you know, bad dough. So, We watch all that stuff, but then once you fall into the rhythm of just making sure that it's all, you know, that it's all happening the right way, I think it goes pretty well. But, you know, it'll always catch you by surprise.
Yeah, I bet.
There's no, you will always, you know, have that moment where you're like, oh, I just like overproofed all the dough and we still have 3 hours, you know? Yeah. So, but, you know, I think that's also what makes it more interesting is that there's a constant challenge and you have to pay attention to what's like going on at that moment. And so for me, that keeps it exciting and interesting. It's not just like a set it and forget it thing, which I don't, you know, not to say that all kinds of cooking is that way, but it's that unexpected part that to me is keeps it fun.
Yeah. Now, Jeremy, go ahead and ask her. I know you're going to ask her about that sourdough. I know you want to.
Okay, so
that starter. I know you want to.
You know, as a amateur home baker, I actually, it's funny. I posted on social media today because my girl, she's named after my grandmother. Today's her 7th birthday. I'm very proud of her. And I'm baking with her later today. But so I love sourdough. I love working with sourdough. So why did you go that direction? And can you talk just a little bit about the process and working with sourdough?
Yeah, I mean, since I'm self-taught baker and I learned from the Tartine Bread book, I just followed their method. And I knew just from eating a lot of bread and going to a lot of bakeries that I liked sourdough bread better than like yeasted bread. I liked all the flavors that it brought out. And I thought that would add just a lot of like interesting, you know, same thing, keeping more interesting. And so I started out just making like a few loaves of bread every day and maintaining a starter and then eventually just like morphed it into the pizza dough. And so that's why, I mean, you know, I think most people, when they think about it, like, oh yeah, sourdough bread, I love it. But you always hear this, you know. It's not so much associated with pizza, but I think I like to have more of a bread dough for our pizza. It's a big part of it. And a big, you know, like bready crust is what I like to eat. So having that incorporated in is really good, I think, for us.
You're talking my language.
That's awesome. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about the business side of things. How's things going with the business? And, you know, what's it like for you right now? You know, if we're in winter and 2013 or 2023. I time warped us, sorry.
You know, for us, it's been so, over the span of 13 years, we've seen it all, you know, very slow, very busy. We've done all of it. We know how to like maintain it. And my sister and I work service shifts. And so we're there to see how it's working and there to like be there when it's slow as the ones like last people to go home. I think so. The other interesting thing that happened for us, I mean, a couple of things are coming to fruition right now is that, you know, we were on the Netflix show, which makes restaurants extremely busy. Especially for the first months afterwards. So we're riding high right now with that. But even before that happened this year, so we used to be a wood-fired pizza place, and we could make about 100 to 120 pizzas per night, but that was about it. We could only load the oven with 4 pies. It was a pretty small deck, 4 feet. And we had a lot of like wood roasted vegetables and stuff. So the oven was always full. We couldn't really make more pizzas than that, just even in 5 hours. And so just cooking wise. And so right before the pandemic, I was planning to switch over to a Pizza Master, and I wanted to get, you know, an oven that could hold 9 pizzas at once. And so we switched over to the Pizza Master right after the pandemic happened, and we started a to-go model where we made, I quickly figured out we could make about 150 to 175 pizzas. And so, you know, we would do that on Fridays and Saturdays. And I was like, and I got really fast too, because it was like all we were doing was making all these pizzas, and we could make like 10 every 15 minutes. And it was fun. And I realized like, the wood oven, even though it's a beautiful way to cook and I like it for pizza, it was just too, we couldn't make enough. And we did, I mean, we survived, but so we had this system where people text the pizza phone, that we have like an old cell phone that people can text their orders to, and we still use that. It's just a little more personalized. We can like fit pizzas into slots that, you know, it's a little more flexible for us rather than like an app that does all the thing for you. And so we did that way for those 2 years during COVID. And when we reopened, we just kept that pizza phone, and that business kind of just stayed. And then we also had dine-in business. And so our business just basically, I mean, there'll be nights where we sell as many to-go pizzas as we have in-house. And versus before getting this Pizza Master, we would not even do to-go for the prime hours at night. You know, we just couldn't make that many pizzas. So luckily, like the pandemic helped us in that way, in that we like developed a whole new side business of to-go's that we still do. And so it's grown our business, which has been really good. And it hasn't taken that much more effort. Like it's still the same kitchen crew and it's one more person in the front to like pass out and organize those orders. And so like for, even though, you know, I don't want to call COVID a blessing, it helped us develop this system that we can still use, and it's helped grow the business so that we can just like do our maximum output right now, which is great. Cause everybody likes to be busy, you know, at work. And even like on a pretty busy night, they're like, oh, it wasn't as busy tonight. And we're like, well, it was pretty good. <You know? laughs> We didn't do 175, but it was all right.
Yeah, so, I heard that so many times about how the pandemic has led to systems that have actually helped the business out. We've heard that so many times.
Yeah.
What it's about this super secret bat phone? I've got to learn about this. Was this just like... Like a legit straight up cell phone, and someone would have it in their hands and respond to the customer and, okay, we've got your order and we're going to get it out to you. Was that really how it was?
Yeah. Excuse me. It's still that way. So we had this very old cell phone. I think we looked and it's like an iPhone 7 or something. It's really small. It's beat up. And we've been using that for like 3 years now. Somehow it still works. We were like, we should upgrade the phone like before it breaks, because we rely on taking all these orders on it. But basically, my sister kind of carries it around with her all day and just takes orders. We start to get more closer to service, but she'll like, she's a pretty big pro at like taking them, and all via text. But, I mean, people are like, why don't you upgrade this system? There's all like, well, this one's free essentially.
Are we talking 5 orders a day, 75?
No.
What are we
like
talking about?
On Saturday, we sold 80 pizzas, and it was probably at least 50 orders.
Oh, no, wow.
Just on the bat phone. Wow. Yep. I love it.
Love it.
Yep.
I love it.
Yeah. Like anyone who ordered pizza through the pandemic, like we can always like put them on the waiting list, you know, sneak them in. So it works for that too. But it's just a way to communicate with people. I mean, honestly, like we know almost everyone texting for pizza. It's a lot of regulars. And I think it's a great system. I don't actually think there's a better one for us. And it's, I mean, we do DoorDash and a couple of the delivery things, but like it just pales in comparison. It's like a couple DoorDash orders per night, but like a massive amount of these pizza phone orders. So, and then we just like during the pandemic too, we just took Venmo.
Mm-hmm.
So we send them a link, text them a link, they hit it and pay it. And it's like really easy.
Oh, wow.
So the reason the IRS is going to start taxing everyone's Venmo. Right?
Well, we always paid our taxes. My mom's an accountant. No, we always reported all of our sales. Yeah.
Hey, I sold a cow. I sold a cow for like $400.
I'm not the only
And now they're taking Venmo's taking money to the IRS, and I'm blaming you, Sarah. I'm blaming you.
Let me just say that you should really have all your business affairs correctly reported. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Get on time, Sarah.
Let's get the legal disclaimer out.
Yes. Just to let everybody know, we always pay our taxes. No, my mom is really a stickler for this stuff. She's our accountant and always has been, and she wouldn't let that happen.
I love that. I love that your sister and your mom are a big part of your business.
So family business. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But I have to say, like Venmo, now we have a business account on Venmo and they do charge for a transaction and everything. But for the first year or whatever, they didn't have that. And so we just got all of our payments processed for free. It was nice to skip over all the Visa, MasterCard stuff for the first year. Like those fees are just so ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, but absolutely.
Anyway, we're back on
yeah. All right. So it's January 2023, not 2013. So, you know, as you're looking forward, you know, this year, even into next year, you know, what are some things that you're kind of looking to with either your pizzeria or things that you're looking to get into? Like what's on the horizon for you?
I think like for my sister, for both of us, we're just like, we've done this for so long and we've never really wanted to have another restaurant. And I don't think we're going to. Or expand or anything like that. Because I think this one just works well enough where we can be like involved and have the control and the input for it. But it's not, it's getting less like life takeover. It still is, but it's as time goes on, it gets easier to like mesh it all together. So I don't think we're going to start any new projects. I mean, for me, I'm always interested in working with farmers, getting different vegetables grown, doing research on, you know, what can be grown better in the winter so we have more options, because we just use at Lovely's just all farm produce, and so it's pretty limited right now. It's a lot of cabbage. We're waiting for the spring vegetables to come in, but we know we still get a lot of wild mushrooms from our forager and stuff, so I think it keeps it interesting. And every year, like, farmers innovate and there are new ways to do things and new ways to use the vegetables, which is great. So I think that part of it always keeps me pretty interested. It's a little bit like low key.
Yeah.
But
no, I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I think if every once in a while, I'm like, oh, it would be so fun to have like a slice shop or a shop like the Cheese Board that just has like big pizzas and they sell by the slice, the whole or the half. I mean, I love all those ideas. I'm just like, maybe if we had like a third sister or something. It's just like, in the end, we're kind of like, yeah, I don't know. This one's nice. It's working well and not taking over. Yeah. I know it would be a lot of work to open up a new place. And I think we've done it enough that we don't want to do it again. So
for sure. Well, you had mentioned working with the farmers and the winter vegetables. So what are your go-to winter veggies right now? Like, what are you loving to put on the menu right now?
Right now we have a lot of different kinds of cabbage, and this is a really
cabbage
good
time. Is unique.
Huh? Yeah.
I said that's very unique.
Yeah. And it's a good time for cabbage because you know, it likes to be in the field when it's cold and can like rebound from that. And so, and they get sweeter. So like, even though cabbage season's like going to narrow down here into some point and give into spring, we can get a few different kinds now, and some are good for sauerkraut or roasting, or, you know, all these different ways you can get it. We also have a lot of chicories in the radicchio, which are also another like cold hardy crop, and they get better in the field when it snows or when it's really cold. And you can just kind of like peel open the layers, and there's a beautiful, you know, colorful lettuce in the inside. And the flavor gets sweeter. And a lot of Italian vegetables are made for this, because in Italy, they really want to have that big selection all winter. And so they've made it like their business to make sure they have a lot of different things that they can grow and harvest and plant in that time period. We're looking at like a lot of Brussels sprouts, kale sprouts, which are cool. I don't know if you've seen those. They're like, they have a little Brussels sprout in the middle, and then they make a little kale outside. They're purple. Those are really good. They're very sweet, roasted, with like polenta or something on the appetizers. But yeah, like wild mushrooms, we're still getting some very late season chanterelles and like yellowfoot hedgehogs. So that's really good. We've got like horseradish right now that we make like a horseradish cream with and put on the top of the mushroom. There are also some more hardy, like leafy greens, like watercress, that are grown in like cold frames and stuff, but they're really good in the winter. We have that right now. It's a good time of year. It's almost a really good time for spinach.
Yeah.
So, that like cold temperatures, not too cold. And, you know, we got all the storage crops, beets, potatoes. We sell a lot of potato pizzas. And so bought like 1500 pounds of storage potatoes that we have in the walk-in that you have to like cover paper so that it's dark, you know, so they don't sprout.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people will start running out of, a lot of farms run out of those. And yeah, I mean, there's a, I mean, that all sounds like a pretty good selection. It's nothing like, you know, once you get rolling into spring and summer, it's just like, abundance of everything. It's so fun, but we preserve some things too. We do like dried tomatoes in the dehydrator, and then we can rehydrate those and use them on pizza all year. We ferment a lot of chilies, hot chilies, and carrots together, and then, you know, freeze those. Then we're still using a lot of those right now, and also same for ice cream. Like a lot of summer berries, we work really hard to like freeze a lot of that. And so we have still strawberry, blackberry, raspberry, things like that. So I'm curious,
what goes through your mind when you're planning a new pizza? Is it, are you thinking like right now, what's in season right now? Or are you thinking ahead, okay, what's going to be in season in October, and I'm going to plan a fall menu well in advance? Or are you working, because obviously you can make, unlike Domino's Pizza, you can make a decision today and have it on the menu tomorrow. What kind of thought process do you go through when you are thinking about a new pizza?
A lot of times, so usually the way that it works is farmers will email you their list on a certain day. You turn in your orders and get it a couple of days later. So it is a pretty quick turnaround when there's a new ingredient or something like that. We also have a really good year-round farmers market. And so going to the market, you can like find something, and we print our menu every day. So you can just find it literally that day and change it over if you find something that's new, that just came in this season. So for me, no, definitely it's not like a far out process. I mean, I know that in a couple of months I know what we'll have, but it's not a guarantee. And so like usually I'll just take one thing and I'll be like, oh yeah, that we do this pizza this way, or there might be a slight change, you know, like just depending on all the things that we're able to get in. But we're lucky that we can just change it every day.
Yeah,
it makes a difference. Yeah.
Do you ever have farmers, like certain farmers you work with, grow things specifically for you, or do anything that?
I occasionally will be like, "What about this thing?" You know, you have a lot this year, and I think that they can, but it's pretty hard to. I mean, I have like I know that some chefs do that.
Yeah.
For me, I there are some things that I can't get that I just ask if farmers will grow again. And it's usually something they've grown before. And I'll just say like, we will try to buy like a lot of this.
Yeah.
But the same way, like when you do that, you commit to it. And for me, I do like the flexibility of not having to like buy a lot of one thing that you asked for. You know, sometimes like the crop might not work out very well. Like, I don't really like that responsibility where I'm like, grow what you grow best. We'll use it. That's the way that it works best for us. So,
yeah, that works.
What's on your menu today?
Let's see. Okay. Well, we have a wild mushroom. It's wild chanterelles roasted with tatsoi, which is like sort of like spinach. It's a cold, hardy spinach type leafy vegetable. And that has a smoked like sheep's cheese on it. And then that has wild watercress on the top, or not wild, just regular watercress.
She's got a picture of it on her Instagram, Jeremy.
Yeah.
It looks amazing.
It's really good. We have a sauce that we make all year that basically has like it has Di Napoli, Bianco Di Napoli tomatoes, mm-hmm. and we kind of crush them up by hand and drain them. So they're pretty dry, but there's chunks. And then we add all of our fermented like chilies, and we add capers and olives and lemon juice, and just, you know, it's a spicy, like lemony sauce. And then we toss that. Right now it's tossed with like rainbow chard. Most of our pies are white pies. We just have one red pie. That's mm-hmm. the margarita type one, but right now has oregano in it. So that one's really good. We have the potato one is delicious. It's got parsley pesto, shaved potatoes, and roasted potatoes. That one is great. We have a turnip kohlrabi pizza right now.
I love kohlrabi.
And I know it's so good on pizza. If you ever want to try it, you should try that at some point. Just chop it up into little like chunks and roast it and throw it on there. It's mm-hmm. so sweet, so good.
Oh, yum. So, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a lot of like, our appetizers are all like polenta and locally grown beans and lots of like braising greens at this point. Yeah. It's pretty diverse. I think it's working okay.
Yeah. Right. Especially even the Portland market.
It's as bad as it gets. It's like, not that bad.
Yeah. Well, the Portland market, that market loves diversity and fun things. And what I love is you were getting all this press, like, and they were like, and she's even, you know, pushing the envelope and going even further. So for Portland to push that out there, that you're doing these innovative things within pizza, I think that's a huge statement to be able to say that you're that innovative in such an innovative area as far as pizza goes.
Yeah, I mean, when you limit to just having farm produce, you have to innovate, because it's like, mm-hmm. you know, if that's all you're going to use and you mostly have vegetables on pizza, then you have to like look for new ways to use things. And I do try to do that. You know, this is the first year I think we've always had cabbage around, but like we're going through a lot of cabbage selling it. I'm really trying to like put it into the menu so that we can use it. There's so much of it around and it's really good. And then people seem more open now to like mm-hmm. to eating those things here. And I think, you know, that's really important that we grow things in season. They taste better. They're easier to get. They don't have to travel very far. They store really well. That's the key to like having a lot of vegetables in the wintertime and having a more diverse array of things. If we can support farmers who grow those things, then they can keep growing more and more. And that's kind of a good ticket for food system here, I think.
Absolutely. Well, I think we'll close this out on one more question. But I'm curious about, okay, so you do a lot of research on the different things that are coming out and things. What's an ingredient that you're looking forward to working with or that you're going to try to kind of play around with? I've seen you do a lot of really neat things with like florals and different things. So I'm curious of what you're kind of getting ready to research or kind of geek out on.
Well, weirdly enough, so my good friend Lane, who she has a project called Culinary Breeding Network, where she works with mm-hmm. farmers and chefs and pairs them together. And the chefs will taste the vegetable and the farmers will listen to like the different qualities that chefs want in vegetables and which vegetables they want. And she'll do a lot of research and like communication between chefs and farmers, which is really cool. But we were on a trip. We were just talking about this last night. It's probably like the least exciting vegetable to everybody else. But we went on a trip to Florence and stayed with a friend and he wasn't home. But he's like, just make whatever you want in the fridge. And we dug in his fridge and like found out these little, we actually don't know what they are. And she's a seed scientist, but was like, I don't know exactly what these are. They were like very, very small little plants about this big. And they have a little root attached and they were bitter. There was something in the chicory family but
Okay.
like an oddball that no one grows here and we've never seen again. And so we're like searching for like photos of this to show, seed breeders and seed growers, like, can you grow this for us? Because we want to put it on pizza in January. It's going to be something that like grows well now. And so she texted, we remembered this vegetable last night. She's like texted one of her friends who's a seed farmer. And he's like, I can see this being like the least biggest hit of the seed catalog. Like no one's gonna want it except you guys. I was like, I know we want it though. Like, can we get it? Figure out what it is. So we're sort of on a quest to like identify that piece. But yeah, I mean, otherwise I'm looking forward to all the things everyone else loves, tomatoes, zucchini and corn and peaches. I mean, those are like, it just gets so easy. It's just like, oh man, it just, the menu's just writing itself. But yeah.
For sure. We're all about peaches over here.
Peaches, we are all
Don't get
about
me
peaches.
wrong. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, we won't take up any more of your time, but thank you so much for coming on to the show and just sharing some of your knowledge. We really appreciate it and wish you the best of luck on wherever you're going this year and whatever you're going to do.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. It was fun.
Thanks a
Appreciate
lot.
it. Yeah,
All
thanks for
right.
okay.
See ya.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.